He has his own podcast. What is it, y'all? Get my shit together.
Welcome to the Getting My Act Together podcast for Friday, November 3rd, 2023. You're at the week's end. I hope you have a big weekend in store. When I say big weekend, I don't mean like a blowout necessarily, but I hope it's going to be a weekend in which you find yourself doing the things that make you feel most like yourself. Don't get distracted with the other stuff. It's hard. I get it. I'm good at doing laundry. I'm good at vacuuming. I'm good at sweeping. I sweep in the morning sometimes like a shopkeeper who's just flipped the sign and is out front tidying the stoop in front of his humble brick and mortar shop. But I could sweep and I could vacuum and I could do laundry for hours. Does it make me feel most like myself? Well, it's those easy, minor accomplishments that maybe could distract me from the bigger things. Like sitting down and recording a podcast, doing writing, being creative, doing all the things that make me feel most like myself. I'm doing that. I'm talking to you right now, 8 a.m. on Friday morning from San Diego, California. But I just want to let you know that I'm aware that there are small things that can distract us from the bigger things. What do they say? Don't stay focused on the elephants. Don't go chasing the rabbits. So I hope that's what you're going to do this weekend when I say have a big weekend. Stay focused on the elephants. My daughter, who's 4.5 years old, recently had a experience of a female rite of passage. And when I say that, I mean she was on the other end of her first unwanted advance from a male. Our dog, George Banks, the dog, tried to mount her. And, he's a powerful little guy, and he stood on his hind legs and tried to mount her, which, you know, in fairness to him, he probably just gets from watching my wife chase me around all the time. And my daughter came crying in and was like, "Dada, George tried to hug me." I was like, "Sweetheart, it's actually pronounced hump. He was trying to hump you. He's trying to get off. He was trying to bust." "Dada, George tried to hump me." I was like, "Well," I was thinking, I didn't say, like, you know, they're different, right? A hug is something you do to someone you love. Whereas, like, you hump someone you just met. Or someone you might even not like that much anymore, but you have to join forces. And then she said, "I didn't like it." And I was like, "Well, girl, I don't think, or I have actually been led to believe, a lot of women feel that way after they've been humped. They're just not satisfied. And that's why they started brunch, so they can go complain about what happened when they were humping." Yeah, so I hope that she's going to receive lots of unwanted advances. But in the end, I said, "So, girl, what'd you do?" But obviously, we want her to know how to handle these unwanted advances. So I was like, "Girl, you know, what'd you do? What do we talk about?" And she's like, "I told him no and I pushed him away." Yeah, seems pretty straightforward, boys, doesn't it? And I was like, "Right, because who's in control of your body?" And she goes, "I am." I was like, and the U.S. government, is what she said. If you have apprehensions raising children in the world, or things you think about, things you want to, oh, is apprehensions the right way? What I want to do is teach my daughter. I want my daughter to learn, when I think about the things that would threaten my child, my beloved child, who I would kill for. And it sounds very dramatic, but, you know, parents, you just can't imagine someone trying to harm your child. And there will be people who will try to harm my child. That's just the way the world works. I really am not looking forward to the angry, pissed off ex-boyfriend. And I think the way to solve for that is to have her do her very best to not select maniacs on the front end. So we do a good pre-qualification of suitors, if she's straight, right? If she's a lesbo, if she is someone who likes girls, then that'll be a different story. I'm just thinking about, you know, men cause all the violence in the world. Or I should say men, with respect to women, you cause it. We just do it. I don't want to say men cause all the violence, because women, by turning us down and making us feel like little men, you totally caused me to fucking go shoot up a school. The idea of the jealous, whatever, obsessive boyfriend really is a scenario I would like to, if not outright avoid. I mean, I would love to avoid it in my daughter's life. I would like to ensure she's best equipped to navigate it with the least potential risk, right? Some dude she might have to break up with is not going to look forward to that, but hopefully he will have been raised well enough and have enough emotional regulation that he would not act out and try to harm my child. Also, I'm going to be older when that happens, and I'm not going to be as scrappy and spry as I am right now. So I might need to, buy, acquire some firearms as I get older. Is that comforting to everyone? Just old people getting guns. Like, of course we're comfortable with it. Everybody can have a gun in this country. It's what makes it goddamn great. It's just one of the dumbest things I've ever said in my life. Speaking of guns, this is not much of a political podcast, so. And by the way, everything's political, you fucking babies. Not you listeners of the podcast, just people who, you know, I don't want my celebrities, my famous people like me, telling me their politics, or just stick to basketball, or just tell your jokes. Hey, fuck you, because everything's political, and I mean that across the spectrum. So toughen up. I'm not telling you what to think, and I'm not doing politics, you know what I mean. I'm not doing politics like, and can you believe on the right they've taken away, your right? Like, you know what's happening in the country. You know where we're sliding to. All I want to say is this. You look at some of these, I know it's complicated and I'm not the most educated. I'm not that guy, by the way, who's smart, who says I'm dumb. Like, I don't know anything about this. I'm just saying, I don't know all of the story in the Middle East. But it sure looks fucking like enough is enough. That's what I'm saying. You know what I mean? And are we? Is anybody saying this? Like, fucking enough is enough. It looks like. Okay, they got you. They got you. You weren't ready and you took a fucking punch to the face and you got knocked down. You stumbled. Now what? Now are you trying to pulverize thousands and thousands of people that don't have shit to do with this other than the fact that they're born of the same blood? It looks a bit too fucking much is what I would like to say. It looks too much. You've exacted your pound of flesh, I would say. That's what it looks like to me. It's also very, very confusing that we are sending military and humanitarian aid to me. That seems very strange. That's like, you know, remember I tried to have the great bit that I found at Farmer's Market when I walked by the church, and then right next to it, it says church counseling services. It's like, that's the cause. Here's the treatment. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of the 1980-something movie based on the police procedural called Dragnet, starring... Well, back in the day, it was Joe Friday, it was so-and-so and the guy from MASH. But the movie starred Tom Hanks and Dan Aykroyd. And they were cops in LA, Dragnet. Am I going to somehow pull this back to my point I was making about the Middle East? I'm going to sure as hell try. I'm telling you that. That's like Reno 911. He's like, ma'am, we're going to tell you we're going to do our best to find out who did this. That's right, ma'am. That's what we're going to tell you. Dragnet, sometime in the 80s, Tom Hanks, the great Tom Hanks, Dan Aykroyd, they are LA cops going up against a group of arch criminals called the Pagans. And Pagans stands for people against, in the movie, people against goodness and normalcy. And there is a great scene starring the late, I believe, Christopher Plummer. And I hope he's still with us. The bad guy from the movie 9 to 5, Dabney Coleman, whose name may have come up here once or twice. He was hilarious in 9 to 5, and he is hilarious as a Hefner, Larry Flint kind of character, a porn merchant named Jerry Caesar, in the movie Dragnet. Christopher Plummer plays a religious leader, a Jerry Falwell type, a Joel Osteen kind of character, and on the other side is Dabney Coleman. But there's a great scene where they're sitting in a cemetery of all places, talking, meeting clandestinely. And Christopher Plummer lays out the plan. He's like, we are going to divide LA, essentially. We're going to split Los Angeles. One half will be making you rich, Mr. Porn Man, by buying all of your sleaze and filth. And the other half will be funding me to fight that battle, and we will both win and become wealthy and split the city. So on the one hand, Los Angeles is funding the problem, the porn, and on the other hand, funding the, and I use quotation marks, air quotation marks, the solution. Religion, or Christopher Plummer's character. And that kind of feels like what is happening over there when I see $14 billion of military aid and then this huge call for humanitarian aid and support and opening up of borders. And I've done a really nice job not mentioning either side, have I? Yeah, why don't you stop and fucking take a bow, take a victory lap, tip your cap. What are we doing? It doesn't seem like anybody needs military aid, if you know what I mean. It does not seem like the team that we are providing military aid to, which in itself is a whole other question and consideration. And, you know, what are we doing? And by the way, one that much of this country and much of the fucking world does not support. And doesn't feel right to me. To me. It feels like we're fucking funding the bully. The bully who got punched in the face and got cut, you know. And now we're like, here's $14 billion. But anyway, the point is, it's way complicated. And the reason that you have a podcast is so nobody can talk back to you. Unless you want to write into the podcast at yesjoesmith@gmail.com and say, yeah, it does look like they're pulverizing, they're literally powdering these people, these children. Yes, I know they're children on both sides. It looks like they're literally what some friends of mine have called for over the years is just pave the Middle East. Just fucking start the whole thing over. No religion, no gods, no sacred grounds. Based on fucking fantasy, just pave the thing, and as a buddy of mine said, shoot for teams and start over. Maybe that's what they're doing, is they're just trying to pave it. It looks like the whole place is rubble. And you know what? I know I'm not seeing the whole damn story, and I'm also not paying attention to it. We're just a month along in the process. I sense you kind of maybe have had your pound of flesh. And you can tell me about how, well, you have to do this and bomb refugee camps and all this because down the road it's going to. Down the road, nobody is going to like you. And I know that if you're over there, you're like, it doesn't fucking matter if anybody likes this, dude. This is an existential crisis. I get it. They want to stamp you out. All those maniacs over there that control what we put into our automobiles want to fucking stamp you out. I don't want that. And in my country, if you are being an asshole to someone simply because of their ethnicity or because of their religious persuasion, you're a fucking bad person. And you're a bad person. Okay? I said it. I don't mean that judgmentally. Way back someone told me the podcast sounded like me arguing myself. So maybe this is just a rare moment where I'm not arguing with myself. If you're in the United States of America and you are an asshole to somebody because of their religious persuasion, unless you're saying like they're all fucking dummies, well, that's a different story. But if you're just like anti this, anti that, because of someone's ethnicity or religious persuasion, you are a bad, you know what you are? You're a bad American. Or you might be the most American for all I know, and I don't want to spend my whole Friday morning talking about this. It just feels like, and I'm not going to do this, I'm doing comedy tonight. I'm going to do two open mics. I hope one of them is happening tonight. I'm doing two comedy open mics. I'm going to the great Mic Drop Comedy Club, and I'm going to some other brewery in quotation marks to do stand-up comedy. I'm not going to talk about it tonight. I don't talk about it with my wife. I don't talk about it with my friends. What's happening over there? I'm talking only to you. It seems like a bit much. No? What are we doing? I want you to know that I don't know what you feel about it. And like I said, you can get in touch. Yes, joesmith@gmail.com. It feels like, okay, we used to play this game when we were in elementary school where, I think it was called Butts Up, where you throw a ball off the wall and it bounces back to you and you catch it. And then you throw it back and it bounces and someone else catches it. And this is in the schoolyard. You throw the ball up against the wall, it bounces back, and you try to catch it, and then you fumble the ball. And you don't make a clean catch of it. Then you have to go stand at the wall, bend over with your butt up, your rear end facing the people you're playing the game with who are, whatever it is, 10 feet, 15 feet behind you with the ball. And essentially, the person who has the ball gets to throw it as hard as they can at your butt. And, you know, it's elementary school, so you don't have to worry about your jewels hanging down, maybe, perhaps, and being exposed. It was harmless fun that probably doesn't exist anymore, where the game is to throw the ball as hard as you can at the person. Anybody play Butts Up? Am I misremembering the rules? I think you had to handle the ball cleanly and throw it back against the wall. And if you fucked up and, oh shit, I made an error and fumbled it, congratulations, Texas Rangers and the great Bruce Bochy for winning the World Series. For the fourth time, my great manager icon, Bruce Bochy, of the former Padres manager, who took the Padres to the World Series in 1998, just won his fourth World Series, which puts him on a list with like people who invented the game of baseball. And he didn't do it with the best of teams. He got the best out of them to make them the best teams. He's a better manager than Joe Torre, who was playing with like Ferraris and Maseratis, Lamborghinis, and a bunch of other cars that I don't drive. If you fumble the ball and Butts Up, you go stand up against the wall, you bend over, and the kid behind you whips the ball as hard as he can at you and hopes to hit you right in the old Cracker Jack, right where the good Lord don't. Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. You know what I mean? That's where you want to hit somebody when you play Butts Up. It feels to me like the guy has stood up there with his balls hanging down and his butt in the air, and you've had your free shot. You've had your shot to get back, to exact some revenge, to whatever you have to do. It just seems like, I'm belaboring it now, so I'll move on. It seems too much to me. It seems too much. I can't put this in a fucking joke tonight. And can you imagine if you put it in a joke ever? But we gotta talk about this. I don't know. Well, we don't have to talk about it because we're not gonna do anything about it. Because many reasons. When I hear people say I don't want people to talk politics in my entertainment, I'm not. I'm not talking politics. I'm not telling you what to think. I'm not telling you what to do. You know that. I'm just saying for this man, it seems a bit fucking much. Okay? Then you hear the numbers thrown around. 9,000 here, 3,000 kids. All right. You know, who's right now in that situation? See, and then, like I said, then the Jerry Caesar thing. Here are all the weapons to cause a destruction and... You know, here's a Kleenex to go clean yourself up. Anyway, it's a fucking shit show, and I feel a little bit like we're on the wrong side of history. I feel that. Well, who decides history? The victors. The people who run the media. Anyway, I got asked to do a stand-up comedy show. Can you believe that? In San Diego, California. I'm going to do a stand-up comedy show. Well, I'm still doing the show for Ian Bagg, opening for him the night before Thanksgiving, but I am doing a comedy show next Saturday night at another quotation mark brewery. There are a lot of breweries here, taverns. And I'm thrilled and I'm grateful. Somebody here knew me, knows me, told the person running the show, this guy's hilarious, put him on your show. And for better or worse, the guy's like, sure, I got you. Put you on. No sweat. And I say better or worse because it's nice and flattering that somebody's word gets me on this show. But I also kind of wish that the barrier to entry were a little higher. You know, like he's like, yeah, man, fucking take a lap and let me see you out there. And let me see you a couple times and send me a tape if you want. You know, a little more stringent criteria for getting on the show. The show, which I saw the little poster, there is no cover charge and there's no drink minimum. And I'm not ungrateful. I'm very glad I'm doing the show. I'm super grateful for doing the show. But like I said, it really seems like people do not value comedy. Like all the posters I see for shows in this town, you know, really call out that they're free. Well, that's signaling to the market what the fucking product is worth. I'm not talking about this guy. I'm grateful. Anyway, I'm going to be on the show. How great is that? I'm going to do a show on a Saturday. I have a show on a Saturday night. I'm really looking forward to it. And I'm grateful for everyone who, meaning the two people that made it happen. I was, like I said, a little... I don't want to say unsettled by the fact that, yeah, fucking come on down, dude. that and this place in my neighborhood or near my neighborhood that I've been kind of badgering. This is how starved of my stand-up life I've been in San Diego. I am over the moon about playing this free show next week where there's no minimum, there's no nothing. Like, we ask us nothing of the audience. That has lifted my spirits on a Friday morning, and in the vein or theme of spirits being lifted, this place near my house or near-ish near my neighborhood that I have been reaching out to on Instagram. You know what Instagram is? I have a friend with a teenage daughter, and what you hear about Instagram, social media, Snapchat, predators, all that shit, it's all true, and it just sounds horrific for people who are teenage girls and people who have teenage girls. In any case, I've reached out. That's what we do. We reach out. I slid into the DMs of this place, sent them a few messages about, hey, would love to try to do a comedy thing in your room. And that's it. Hey, much respect for your contributions to the community over the years. I'd love to try to do comedy in here. Maybe two messages. And then, you know, I've been hitting them up for 6 weeks. And then maybe 2 weeks ago, they got back and said, yeah, can I have your phone number and we can talk about this, or get the phone number of the person who'd need to talk to you. I was like, oh, sure, that sounds great. They went silent, nothing from the Instagram. So I found a venue, like email address, admin at whatever, sent them an email 2 weeks ago, didn't hear anything from them. And always in this gentle, like, hey, just circling back, not trying to be a pain in the ass. But I don't have any personal relationships there, so I'm trying to gently get in touch via email or Instagram. So I sent one a couple days ago, say, hey, just circling back to see if you'd have any thought. And I've described myself as a comic and showrunner, meaning I know how to do the show, I guess. But I haven't given them any, like, what I would love is I would love a place that wants to do comedy 7 nights a week. And I could go there and host the mic, just like the Laughing Skull. I could host the mic Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. We could have booked shows Thursday, Friday, Saturday. It'd be like a real comedy place. And ultimately, I'd figure out a way to buy the fucking space from these people. In any case, I didn't tell them anything. Like, I envision, you know, I don't know what they're thinking. What does comedy mean to do? I said, do comedy at your place. I don't know if they think that's a, you know, a weekly thing, you know, 3 days a week, 7 days a week. I doubt it's that much. Do I want to do a once a month show? What's the level of quality? Are you selling tickets for this? I don't know what they think when I say I would love to do comedy at your place. But what I do know is they emailed me back last night, and that has lifted my comedic spirits. Because to me, it represents an opportunity to potentially get into the gym. Like, I have the gym in Atlanta. I could do 20 minutes up top at Limerick if I wanted to. Not that anybody else wanted to. And then I could go do the next night at Laughing Skull for the open mic in front of 80 people. I could do 10, 12. Depends how cool the showrunner was. If it was Andrew George, it'd be great. Then when I bomb, he'd send me a picture of Oppenheimer. But the idea of having time. So anyway, they sent me an email last night saying, hey, have received your messages or something like that. Like, finally, like, dude, just back off. And we want to do comedy is what, where's the, I'm not looking up anything on the internet. You know that. I would never do that to you. It's the worst content in the world. But let's see what they said here. They said, Joe, I've received your inquiries. Well, thank you. Joe, I've received your inquiries and we are interested in having comedy. However, we are trying to work out a plan for how it would work that is standard for all folks asking to do comedy. Is there a competition? I don't know what that means exactly. So maybe they're thinking like a one-off thing. I want to make your place a comedy club. The plan should be done shortly and we can offer this to you when complete. Give me a few days and I'll get back to you with a time we can discuss. Thanks. Okay. That's good enough. All I want to do is, I just want to talk. It's just some bud. It's just some jokes. That's all we really want. Just want to talk. So I'm really encouraged by that. Now that I read it, it may sound like I'm a promoter or show producer, a producer that there are a million of probably in the city, and my night would be this night, somebody else's night would be that night. But I'm enthused, and that is going to lift my comedic spirit. It's lifted my comedic spirits and will carry them through the weekend until I talk to you on Tuesday following what will be a great weekend for me. For me, I'm going to go spend time with my daughter and my wife, and I'm going to go exercise. I'm going to go for a long run on Sunday, and I hope you have a great weekend, and I hope that you are not put off too much about me just saying, and you know where I stand in the world. I'm with you. I'm not going to badger and belabor a point over and over. So I hope the middle part of this podcast didn't bug you too much. I don't mean to bug you. Am I bugging you? Do I bug you? I don't mean to bug you. Anyway, have a great weekend, and I'll talk to you on Tuesday.